I want to do a little experiment here this morning. An experiment is just as simple as this. It works. Gravity works. Carl, when you parked your bike this morning, did you have to chain it down to make sure it didn't float away? No. When you parked your car this morning, did you have to tie it down to make sure it didn't float off? Gravity works, doesn't it? Spiritual law works just the same. Spiritual law is just as convincing and just as full as the natural physical laws that we subject ourselves to. When we begin to subject ourselves to spiritual law, spiritual things happen. When we begin to subject ourselves to spiritual law, then the law and the promises of God can come forth in our life. And it's just as sure as the gravity that drops this water to the floor. It's just as sure. And you see, there's something that we've been studying a lot about faith, and we've been looking a lot about faith and the promises of God and the promises for your inheritance and all those things, and all that is wonderful. But we also don't want to overlook one of the basics here, and the basic that is that the Holy Spirit is the one who comes to execute. He's the executor of spiritual law. He's the one who comes to execute law on your behalf. He's the one who comes to execute the laws of transformation for your spirit and your soul. He's the one who will execute the law of multiplication so that your stewardship and your provision come forth. He's the one who will execute the law of your edification, the spiritual edification, if you allow him to. He'll edify. It's what he's called to do. He's the executor of your estate. Now see, some of you may have been an executor of somebody's estate. Others may have been the beneficiary of somebody's estate. But the executor of your estate comes and he does the will of the one who makes the will. God left you a will. He left you a will and testament. And it's right here. And this will and testament that he left for you, the Holy Spirit will execute on your behalf if we'll allow him. There's a spiritual law that basically says that as we pray in tongues, he's going to bring forth personal edification. And sometimes it's so easy to forget those things because we get so caught up in everything else that God is doing. But I want to just come back to a bedrock foundation in our lives, especially in this church. It's been a foundation, praying in tongues. Reminding you that it's time to not just slack off, not get lax, but to pray more. I had to look at my own life this week and I had to realize that it's time to pray more. Because as we pray more in tongues, we're giving him the license to do within us what needs to be done. The Holy Spirit comes to take out those things that need to be taken out and to put in and call forth those things that need to be called forth. And we have to be the ones to allow that to happen. We can put it in the action on our behalf just because we want to. As we begin to pray in tongues. As we begin to focus on this activity that God gave us. You know, this is one of the things that separates us from the Old Testament Christians. And Jesus said that even the least of these New Testament Christians is greater than John the Baptist. Now you look at what that man accomplished and how he gets it, and yet he said even the least of these is greater Because of the Spirit of God that lives within us. The Spirit of God that we have access to within us. See, we have no excuses because we have the Spirit of God already right here. Ready for us to walk into. Ready to bring us and walk us out of those things that have that held bondage and held sway over us. And walk us into the promises that God has made in our life. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Now, that's good news for some, because what that says right there is that your sanctification is not your total responsibility. The Holy Spirit comes to bring your sanctification. He comes to act out the sanctification on your behalf. He comes to allow you to be able to engage Him and do all this thing that is required to purge all of us. All the flesh. All the things that have kept us and detracted from us becoming who we're supposed to become. The Holy Spirit, it's His job. It's His desire. He leads and He guides. He reveals the divine Word of God. He reveals the truth that has been already ordained for your life. See, there was a plan of God that was set in motion before the world ever began. And He looked down through the agencies. He saw Carlene and He said, "Okay, here's what we're going to have to do. Here's the date she's going to be born, and here's the date she's going to receive me. Here's the date that she's going to do miracles. Here's the date she's going to walk on the water. And here's what we got to do to get her to that point." And the Holy Spirit stood up and said, "Hey, I'll take on that job. I'll take on that task. Send me. Send me. I'll go live within her. Send me." And He did that for each and every one of us. If you'll accept Him and you'll allow Him the opportunity, you'll give Him the place, He'll give you the goods. He oversees the plan of God for your life. It was His desire from the beginning to take up residence in your spirit. Turn to Romans 8. We were there the other day. At least this time. Because the other day we were talking and we were talking down through the Spirit. Down through the parts where, like in verse 13, where if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if according to the Spirit, you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You see, here in Romans 8, he's setting forth the difference between living in the Spirit and living in the flesh. And the Holy Spirit comes that we may know how to live in the Spirit. That we may know how to overcome. But what I want to focus on today is down in verse 26. Because see, this is where we begin to receive our victory in Christ. Verse 26 says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we did not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. To those who are called according to His purpose." He's causing all things to work together. Now, that verse gets misused a lot. You know, if somebody gets their car run over in the traffic and say, "Well, God causes all things to work together for good." The enemy caused that. Come on, quit giving God credit for something that the enemy did. God doesn't want that. No, what is he talking about? He says he causes all things to work together. He's causing the Holy Spirit and your spirit to come together to work the things for the good of God. to bring glory to who God is in you. He's been showing you the difference between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. And now he's saying the Holy Spirit comes that you might walk in the Spirit. Because he comes and he's in concert with the nature of God that's within you. And as he's in concert with the nature of God within you, then that brings forth the glory of God on your behalf. That brings forth the plan of God on your behalf. He prays for us this way because we often don't really know what it is we're supposed to be praying. No, you may be praying, I really would like a new Cadillac. And I don't have a thing against Cadillac. I really would like a new Harley. But see, God may have a whole nother plan. He may be saying, Chuck, time to lay down that thing. You know that thing I've been talking to you about? Time to lay it down, bro. Time to let it go. You know, get your hand off of it. Let me have it. No more bells. Time to lay down whatever that is that God's been speaking to you about. Whatever that is. Because every one of us has something that we know that God's been pulling on our heart to deal with. And the Holy Spirit, He comes to bring that transformation in your heart. So not only is it possible, but it becomes your desire to do so. Hallelujah. Because He knows the plan of God for your life. He knows what was uttered at the foundation of the world on your behalf. He knows who you're supposed to see and who you're supposed to bring victory to, who you're supposed to bring the word of faith to, who you're supposed to show the gospel into. He knows everything about your life and it's already been planned out. And He desires to bring that forth in you. Because He's interceding not just according to our own will. He's just interceding according to the will of God that was already set out. Amen? All right. So because of that, the law of faith, the law of the Spirit, is just as alive and active as the law of gravity. It's just as powerful. All we have to do is begin to conform ourselves to it. We begin to give it place. As we begin to give it place, as we begin to spend an hour, or 2 hours, or 3 hours, or 4 hours, or 5 hours with Him, then He can begin to plant the Word of God in our heart in such a way that it comes alive. Praying in tongues will bring forth the transformation. It'll take you out of the wilderness and into the promise. When I went through my 18-month wilderness experience, one of the things that I told the Lord is, as long as I'm in this truck, I'm praying. And I'm praying, and I'm interceding, and I learned some things about taking dominion. I learned some things about beginning to set the order in my life. I began to learn how to set an order to an atmosphere around me by praying in the Spirit and preaching to a windshield. And I can tell you that that windshield, if it didn't get saved, it was going to have to come out of there. Because there's only so much anything can stand until it just got to come and respond to the Word of God. So there was a place in this. And God began to change some things in my life in this process. He began to identify some worthlessness and some insecurities that had to come out of me. He began to identify some fears that had to go. And He made it possible. He made it possible. You know, it's really hard to lead someone else when you don't even believe that you're worthy in your own right. And God has to take those things and begin to pull them out of you. He's got to take those things and He's got to begin to transform those thought processes and begin to deliver you from yourself, unfortunately. But the thing that reminded me of all this is that I got a call this week from a friend of mine, and he was distraught because his wife is taken to listening and applying herself to a teaching that goes against everything that he knows. And in part of this teaching, you know, she has now gone from someone who believed in tongues to believing in tongues is of the devil. Because of the deception. See, this group of people, they only believe that. They also believe that Jesus and Michael, the archangel, are the same. I mean, all kinds of this goofiness. But see, there's an inoculation against that kind of deception coming in your life. Is if you'll apply, it's not good enough just to know that you can speak in tongues. You've got to pray in tongues. You've got to apply it in your life. It's not good enough just to know that it's out there and it exists. It's got to be something that's alive in you. Because I guarantee you, if you'll pray in tongues long enough, no matter what deception you might get subjected to, you'll be able to speak and find your way out of it. There's so much that is going on in the world. There's so much in the holiness movement that people had to come out of. But the power of tongues is there to separate those things from us. The power of tongues is there to bring the life of Christ, the truth of God, into our life. We have to allow that process to happen. And it begins by applying ourselves. It begins by spending more time in this powerful lesson, in this powerful motivating factor that God has already given for us. I began to realize just from that conversation that, you know, this is something that has always been a part of our foundation here, but we haven't spoken enough about that recently. So I want to stir you up today. I want to stir you up today to begin to apply the power of God in your life, because I don't want to lose anyone else to a deception. I want all of us to be pressing into the unity of God. Because that's what happens with the unity of the Spirit. There's a unity of the Spirit that happens as we begin to apply ourselves to tongues and the operation of tongues in our life. It brings forth a unity of the Spirit that we can't do, we can't achieve in our own mind. Amen. There's only so far we can go in our own mind because we're so prone to believing the deceptions. But God will deliver truth every time if we'll apply ourselves to it. It's an inoculation against deception. See, so often we spend so much time trying to gain an understanding of something with our mind, and when we should really be feeding our spirit. That's why I like to open the service up. And it makes some people uncomfortable, and I'm sorry for that, but I like to open a service up with us praying in tongues together. And I'm sorry that it made a few people feel uncomfortable, but there's a drawing together of the Spirit that happens. There's a drawing together that happens in that place that nothing else will replace. There's an awakening. Because see, you have within you everything that you already need to be your victory. I went to a conference, the first of the year conference, and I think it was 04. And I, as I stood there and I looked, all these people were seeking a word. You know, it was one of those prophetic conferences, and every one of these people who were here, they were here to get a word from somebody. Well, I got a word for you, and that word is the Holy Ghost. Because everything that you need to be told can be told to you by the Holy Ghost. And you won't have to worry about it being a deception or a lie, because it'll be the truth. It'll be the truth that sets you free. It'll be the truth that brings deliverance. It'll be the truth that brings freedom. It'll be the truth that brings change and begins to look, make everything around you look different. That word is within you. There's no reason to go to somebody else and get a word. There's no reason for us to follow around like a bunch of goony birds looking for somebody to speak to us. Because God is in us. God is in us. And it's time for us to walk in that. It's time for us to realize this voice of God is something within me that I can do something. I can receive from God just because I want to. Just because I desire to. Just because I want to tune myself in and listen on the inside. Because if we'll begin to tune ourselves in and listen to what God has to say, then the transformation can happen in our life. The transformation can happen. There's a manifestation of transformation that is awaiting you. It's waiting on you. Hallelujah. We see in the book of Jude, it's just one chapter, but it's a powerful chapter. And we see that Jude was dealing with false apostles and prophets. The false brethren who were trying to already spread lies and break up what God was doing. They were already trying to do things for their own gain. I'm just giving you a synopsis of it because I'm running out of time. But I want to call your attention to verse 3. It says, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt a necessity to write to you, appealing to you, contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." Already, he's having this thing. I feel that I got to tell you to contend earnestly. This morning, that's what I'm doing too. I'm saying contend earnestly for the faith. Contend earnestly for the faith, because that's within you. And see, he begins to be outlined for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. And he goes on to tell them about, these are men like Sodom and Gomorrah. These are men who revile angelic authority. These are men who run into the error of Balaam and Cain. These are men, verse 16, who are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. Beloved, you ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, "In the last time there shall be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded and devoid of the Spirit. But you, Houston Revival Center, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God, awaiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life." That's the process. As we begin to identify and allow praying in the Holy Ghost, that is his answer to the deception. That is his answer to the begin to contend earnestly for the faith, as we spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, we're contending for that faith that is available to us. We're contending for that truth that is available to us. We're contending for that salvation that is available to us. It's the grace of God being manifested in us. If you want to do some extra reading about who these men are, look at 2 Peter 2. Because he begins to say the same things that Jude says. Only he gives a lot bigger description. Peter gives a huge description of these men and how ungodly they are and what that effect is in the lives of those around them. We have to be on guard. It's not good enough for us to just come and listen to a good sermon and go home. We have to apply ourselves. We have to begin to bring forth the gift of tongues. Bring forth the gift of the Holy Ghost. Remind ourselves. Stir ourselves up in that faith. Stir ourselves up by applying ourselves to the faith of God that's available to us. There's a mighty gift. It's at your disposal. It's a gift that makes you greater in what you can do and what you can affect than all the men of the Old Testament. And you think about that. What was accomplished by men who just laid themselves down? The power of God lives within you when you've, I believe probably everyone in here has accepted both their Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit. There's a power of God that's laying within you to transform not only you, but the atmosphere around you. And it's available for your asking. It's available for your pursuit. I don't want to fall into any deception. I don't want any of you to fall into any deception. I want you to be capable of carrying forward with the plan of God for your life. You can't always count on a man. It don't matter who that man is. It don't matter if it's me, if it's LaRue, it's whoever. It don't matter who they are. You can't count on a man, but you can count on God. You can count on the Holy Spirit. And you can count on that deliverance that He has for you. And you can know that you know that you know that if you go on with Him, He's going to go on with you. I urge you, reactivate your prayer life. Revitalize your prayer life in tongues. Yeah. Revitalize that gift from the manifestation and the proclamation of who God is in you. Amen. Amen.